That's what I'm talking about. Hey, man, it's been a minute without question, right? It's been a while since I've done one of these. And, you know, hey, it is what it is. But I've kind of gotten into a new space to some degree. I'm back in the saddle again with DevOps being something I probably should never have left behind to begin with. But maybe I'll transform this channel to some degree into, you know, talking about what it's like to be at the point in the in my career that I am now. So, you know, I'm sure I've talked about this, but let's rewind a little bit. I'm 50, the big 50, born in 1972. Take that in, man. All you youngsters, anyone out there listening? Ha, I'm old as dirt. Anyway, not really. But yeah, I mean, I'm pretty old. Most of my life is over. But the good news is when you get to this point, if you get to this point, you definitely pick up a lot of things and you start to be able to put the pieces together of this puzzle called life. I'm such an idiot. Anyway, that being said, I think it's important to call out that, you know, so I'm still doing in kind of a manager leadership role. I'm really hands-on too. And I guess I missed that in my previous excursions into purely leadership-driven roles in technology, which was, I don't know, 2.5, 3 years of a complete mistake in the sense that I really came away with it or away from it with greater insight into who I am and what I should be doing and what I enjoy doing in my technical career. And it is not just being a pure leader. I need to have hands-on and do stuff in the technology realm other than just dealing with people and process and personalities. Oh, good Lord. The human condition, man. I mean, the dynamic nature of dealing with people is... Wow, I don't know. I guess I just don't have that skill. I mean, I think I'm good and communicative and collaborative and things like that, but some personalities or my personality just does not mesh well with others. And I guess I've learned, if anything, I'm only really optimal in an environment where people are very much like me. So diversity in that regard is not optimal for me. So when I'm in a room full of people that don't understand what I'm talking about, but fight against what I'm talking about simply because they don't understand it and or they fear it, I don't do well in those circumstances because it just doesn't make any sense to me. And I very quickly tire of arguing with people over things that they have no right arguing. It's very much like what we see in the lay of the land today and like the political landscape, in that there's so many people that want to take a side and argue, but they really have very little information and knowledge of not only their own side, but of course the other side. So they're just talking out their ass for no good reason other than to hear themselves talk. And they sound passionate and like they know and they what they feel is right, but they're just wrong. And, you know, I kind of deal in absolutes, and I've said this before. Things to me are to some degree black and white. I mean, I honestly live in the gray. I really do. But to some degree, we have to agree on right and wrong and then get into the gray once there's an agreement. If you're always in the gray without agreement, you just, there's no reconciliation. There's no end to it. It's an infinite whirl of just nonsensical blasphemy. Anyway, so what I wanted to talk about really today was I've been doing a lot of hiring in the role that I hold now. I'm an engineering manager, so DevOps manager, so development operations. So actually, I think my organization is DevSecOps, so I have security operations as well. And this is all cloud-based stuff. So we're talking like AWS, IBM, Google Cloud, Azure, things like that. So trying to constrain it to that. But I've been doing a lot of hiring, right? We're building a team, really awesome stuff. In the throes of digital transformation am I with the company that I work for. And that's great. So, you know, the hiring landscape right now is, I don't really know how to say it. It's kind of bizarre, you know, and, you know, what best wishes to all those that have been laid off in this recent tech just oblivion, whatever you want to call it. I went through that 2011, maybe something like that, with Yahoo when they were purchased by Verizon. I was one of the air quotes impacted employees, which means you get a nice severance package, but you don't work there anymore. And it sucks because I love that job. I really love the company, the people, the vibe, the atmosphere, the culture. I would never have chosen to leave that company. I was finally at a place where I never wanted to leave. And of course, you know, that works out where I was asked to leave. you know, and it wasn't a performance thing at all. It was just, well, I was remote back when being remote was not as cool as it is and acceptable as it is today, as well as I probably was on the higher end of the salary line as well. So there was that to consider. And, you know, let's be honest, it's easier to let people that aren't physically in front of you go than to have to deal with people that are right in front of you. And, you know, to some degree, I would argue that you build different relationships with people that you see in person each and every day, as opposed to people you just chat with online. And that's a reality, you know, and that's something that's important to consider when you're looking for a remote position. You know, truly, you have to be exceptional. I mean, it really, to be equally successful to someone that's in the office, I would argue that you have to be, in fact, more successful to achieve the same level of success, simply because you're not there. You know, it's out of sight, out of mind. And if you're not present in many other ways where people don't see you physically, there's always going to be that, well, what is that guy doing? What are they doing? You know, they might think highly of you, but because they don't see you, there's just this weird thing about that. But anyway, back to the hiring piece. So I'm hiring folks, and what I've come to find out is that I've reached a point in my career where I have a skill set that exceeds most people. And that's not, I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm just stating a fact, right? So I've been doing this for about 15-ish years at this point. So, you know, I've got a little tenure behind me. But the reality is it struck me fairly recently that as I'm hiring all these people that, you know, coming on with all this experience in their resumes and blah, 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 it's kind of shocking to me how much more I know than these people. And I don't mean that, again, arrogantly. I just mean that in that I've been in position for a long enough time now that very little rattles me. In fact, I would dare to say nothing does. And the reason I say that is because seeing a lot of new folks joining the foray here, it becomes very obvious what you actually know how to do as opposed to what you've put down on a resume and said you can do. So it's the reality of, and I'm not talking about just, you know, writing code or you know, things like that. I'm talking about the approach to a job. So maybe this is something they don't teach you in school. And you know, I don't know. I didn't go to college for computer science. Well, I did, but I didn't graduate. So, and I didn't go in the traditional way. I did, like, you know, online schooling and stuff. So it's just kind of a joke. You know, segue, I left school because I landed a job in the career that I was going to school to get a job in. So there wasn't much point when that kind of crossroads came. I just, you know, it's like if you're in high school and you get offered, you know, an NFL contract, you may or may not continue on to go to school. You might just go to the NFL. So that's kind of what I did. I went right to the job. And, you know, interestingly enough, there is without question a lack and a gap in my skill set from a computer science standpoint. So to some degree, that was a mistake. But in other ways, the time spent on the job is also or equally as valuable as going to school and learning the complete scientific method approach to computer science. Fundamentally, there's definitely something there. And without question, when I talk to people that are from that discipline and have expertise of that nature, I can get lost without question. You know, there's definitely things on the science side of computer science that elude me. And I just don't think I have the aptitude for some of those things, which is why I've probably moved into some of the different roles that I have in my career over, you know, this long period of time. But I digress. What I was actually trying to get at is it's so important to be able to function in a role, moreover than just be able to rattle off services or even configure services. There's so much that needs to be said about your ability to adapt and overcome. And, you know, I'm taking that right out of Clint Eastwood and Heartbreak Ridge. I love that movie. But it's really important. You know, I mean, for example, one of the things that you have to be able to do is navigate the lay of the land or the landscape of any organization that you work for. And that might mean a number of things, like where is the intranet? You know, how do people most often communicate? Is it email? Is it chat? Is it by phone? Is it video? Is it text? You know, there's all these different subtleties, and you can't really be shy. So what I'm getting at is that people need to be more or a really good skill to kind of hone if you're kind of stuck or you're not sure what else to do or things aren't working well for you. Something I really look for when I'm hiring or interviewing for open positions are people that demonstrate the ability to overcome in a situation where they don't know what they're doing or they're in unfamiliar territory, which is always the case when you start a new position. You know, and I've worked for 20 plus organizations in my career. And over time, you get better and better at just coming into an environment. And regardless of what they give you to start with, you just have a sense of what you need to do. Like what tool sets you like to use, what you need to install on your computer, where things are, like I said, where's the intranet? What are the chats? What are the distribution lists you need and I-lists you need to belong to? You know, what kind of calls do I need to get in on? And these are all things that from a management perspective, I really don't at this level want to hold your hand. I will, but I really don't want to have to do that, right? My expectation is that you come to the table understanding all of this. And I guess to me, that's to some degree a senior mindset position, but I got to be honest, at the pays salary levels that we're offering, the compensation ranges that get offered to people in the IT world at this point, I mean, you know, you're looking at, I wouldn't say middle and upper six-figure income, but you're looking at a six-figure income, hands down. I don't know that there's a position that exists for less than $100,000 a year in IT, you know, at this point. So with that kind of a salary, to me, you should be able to bring what I'm asking to the table. So in some regard, every role is a senior role. It's just you may not be able to mentor people as well, or you may not have the depth and breadth of technology to call yourself a senior or a tech lead. But from a navigational standpoint and a functionality standpoint, you really need to have that. And it's not even like I'm complaining about it. I'm just saying to be successful as I look at candidates coming on board and things like that and start to see where they're struggling, it's like, wow, how do you not know that there's for sure a ticketing system, at least one, if not many, in our environment? So if you don't have access to something, you open a ticket. You know, those kind of things to me are kind of shocking if you don't know that. And I would imagine that people coming from, you know, like FANG companies, you know, a lot of the folks coming from Facebook or Twitter, things like, you know, what I'm saying is nonsensical. You're like, well, what is this guy talking about? Well, you know, the rest of the world is using technology and not every company is technological in orientation or in deliverable. So they're using technology as a platform or a tool, but it's not what they're selling. They're selling something else, a service or a product or whatever, but the product isn't the technology. The technology exists, well, partly because you have no choice at this point, really. Most everyone's going to the cloud because the cost of commodity and commercial hardware is just ridiculous, coupled with licensing, really having an orientation to drive you into the cloud to save money. You know, for an aggregation, especially on the Windows side of things. I mean, Azure, they definitely want you in Azure AD without question, just from a licensing of an on-prem Active Directory farm is insane. Same with Oracle. I mean, you don't want that stuff physically in your data center. You want it in their cloud. You know, so that kind of a thing is really prevalent. And a lot of companies that are not technically oriented or technology oriented or focused, you know, they have no choice now. And there's a real distinction, right? So having an on-prem data center is one thing, but having a presence in a public cloud is a completely different level of engineering. And I'm not saying it's necessarily harder. It's just a different skill set, right? So kind of gone are the days of like, hey, we need to rack some servers and get the network gear on and all plugged in. Let's get everybody hands on deck and knock it out. And ta-da, now we've got a new implementation. Well, that's not how it works in the cloud. You actually have to have engineering skill sets to be able to do that. So just because I bring 10 people to the party or to the office or to the call doesn't mean they're going to be effective or helpful in any way if they don't know what they're doing, right? You can't just log into a console in AWS and, you know, stand up an entire environment not knowing what you're doing. I mean, it's just good luck. I mean, I've been doing this for 15 years and it's still not straightforward because they continue to add services, decommission and retire services. So you have to always perpetually be learning new service-oriented engineering from, you know, every cloud. I mean, right now I have a presence in 3 different public clouds. So to some degree it's the same, but they're all different, you know? I mean, so it's not the same. And you can argue that, well, you can use tools like Terraform to build out your infrastructure as code using, an HCL or the language set that they use. And that's true. From a provider perspective, I can write Terraform all day long and point it to any provider and oftentimes many applications, but you still have to go out there and figure out how to do it. So fundamentally, it's the same. Right? So understanding the syntax is one thing, but then you have to learn the environment. There's no way around that, right? So I can't just deploy something in AWS and then the same deployment works in the Google Cloud or in Azure or in IBM or Oracle. It doesn't work that way. You know, none of the calls are the same. The APIs are all different. Even though the provider is available, you have to understand how to use it. It's just like anything else. It's a programmatic approach to things. So without development background, education or skills and or all of the above, that kind of thing is not an all hands on deck event unless you have that kind of staff all around you. And, you know, like I said, most of these places don't because they're just now building out their IT departments internally, or they're just now moving to a fully cloud-based architecture. And, you know, it's a lot more difficult, I think, than people realize. It's not turnkey in any way, shape, or form. And I would argue with anyone that the engineering minimum requirements to get into the cloud far exceed managing a data center, an on-prem data center. Now, there's other things with the on-prem data center, like, you know, power and uptime and you know, backup and redundancy is and you know, things like that, and procurement, and you know, that you don't really do in the same way. I guess it's virtual in the cloud, but you don't actually physically touch hardware or anything like that, or order hardware in that way and have to wait for it to arrive. I mean, semantically, I guess you could say that when you provision something in AWS or a cloud, yeah, there's your order and now you have to wait for it to be spun up and available. But you know, we're talking, you know, minutes, you know, not weeks, months, whatever it takes to procure hardware, receive it in a shipping dock, rack it, turn it on, plug it all in, then configure it. You know, it's a much bigger process. And it's not that I'm belittling it at all. I'm just simply stating that it's different, right? So people that were used to doing that kind of work, looking at the cloud and saying, okay, well, all the code for this is in GitHub. And they're like, what's that? Yeah. I mean, not everyone knows what that is. And it doesn't mean that they weren't effective and aren't still effective in the role they have. It's just this more modern approach to some is just foreign. You know, I've never done it before. And it's, again, like I said, it's not really easy. And I guess that's one of the things I was realizing is that the things I take for granted that I just do and know how to do, like, you know, using a tool like GitHub to manage code where others don't and hadn't even thought of version control like that, which to me is just, I mean, if you could see my face, it's literally shocking. I'm like, how do you, I've been using that since Subversion. So before GitHub even existed, I've been doing version control. But, you know, again, it's the environments that you're in and the places that you work for. You know, I've worked for some startups and some, you know, web-centric companies that it was mostly developers. So I've had a different experience. But now that everybody's getting into this, what I'm finding is that there's a lot of tool sets that are standard in the DevOps approach. And companies want to say they're going to do DevOps, but they don't really understand what it means. And they really don't want to talk about it. You know, now this isn't like, I'm not talking about my company that I'm working for now. I'm talking about the last four companies that I've worked for have all been like this. So this isn't like a one and done. This is a multiple layered experience that I've had with many different companies where they claim they do this or want to do this. But when someone that actually has done it, like myself, joins and explains or tries to explain and articulate and architect what we're going to do and what this actually means, they just fall down and don't understand it or just sit there, nod their head, agree, but don't actually do it. And that's a fundamental thing. So what I'm trying to, I guess, do, you know, and from my standpoint is understand, I think, I don't know how to explain this, I guess. I feel like it's less about, even though I just argued for this for like 5 minutes, it's less about the technology and more about your initiative and ability to learn and adapt and overcome. Like I said before, you know, I encounter things every day in the cloud that I don't know how to do. But I understand the support that my company has with AWS or IBM, for example. And I have created a success based out of that initiative moreover than my actual skill set in any one cloud, right? I've never used IBM before now, ever. Didn't even honestly know, other than Watson, had no idea. The last time I touched anything IBM, it was called AIX and it was Unix. So we're talking like early 2000s, a long time ago, using a C shell, you know, that kind of thing. So, and not SEA, like capital C shell. So I guess my point is what I did and what I'm explaining here and what I'm articulating, I guess is, and what I'm doing is just using a lot of stupid big words. It's important to be able to understand how to achieve results, even if you don't know what you're doing. That's a super, super, super skill, right? So to be able to, well, I guess the other thing is drop the ego, right? Just stop being so egotistical about letting people know you don't know what you're doing. I feel like this has kind of come into its own over the years. Like it's fine now, but in the past, maybe even I wasn't comfortable. Well, as comfortable, I don't know. I've always been the kind of person that I don't know how to do something. I don't care if I say it out loud because I'm results oriented and results driven. This isn't about me, you know, like posturing and having an ego where I can't admit that I don't know how to do something. I'm the complete opposite. I feel like if I don't admit that I don't know how to do it, I'm wasting time doing nothing or doing it wrong. Let's just figure out how to do this right now. Let's not play games. And if I don't know how to do it, I'm not just saying I don't know how to do this and then I give up. I'm saying I don't know how to do this. How do I get there? You know, and some people might think, well, Stack Overflow, well, you know, online docs, all that stuff. Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. So you have to have the ability to understand what resources are available to you. And I think that makes you super effective, even if you don't know how to do something. Like, I'm not a coder at all, but I can write code all day long because I know how to go get it. I know how to use it. I know how to read. I know how to extract information that other people have solved and just reuse it. I don't need to rewrite it from scratch. I don't need that ego. I just need to solve the problem. Right? So results oriented is so important. So think about that and say those things when you're in an interview. You know, tell people that you're results oriented. You can overcome challenges and you enjoy the challenge and celebrating, the success at the end when you've overcome the challenge. But my point is, I created support tickets for IBM. You know, nobody told me to do it. I just started doing it because I don't know what I'm doing. Then I uncovered what our actual support was by being inquisitive and saying, you know, what kind of support do we have? And what does that give us? Well, come to find out, we have premier support. So I can talk to people anytime I want from the IBM team that helps support our program. Holy cow. I mean, now we have all these experts. There's three guys that are three people on this team that are at our disposal. And it was all being done through email. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I mean, email is one, it works, but it's not real time. It's not very dynamic. Slow, right? So I wanted real time results. So what did I said, well, why don't we have a Slack chat with this? Can we do that? And we looked into it, and lo and behold, we were invited to the IBM Slack, and now we have our own channel. So I have the ear of these technical experts in that particular platform 24/7 at my beck and call. And they really are there to support. It's phenomenal. So basically, if I run aground, now I'm not saying you leverage it for everything, right? What I'm saying is you did make best effort and you try to get somewhere. And just like anything else, when you get stuck, you just ask a question. Like if you're in school, you don't walk up to the professor and you know, have a blank sheet of paper or a blank notepad and say, oh, I don't know how to do this. No, you got to give it an effort first. And when you get stuck and you run aground and make that decision that at this point, I'm not going to get any further on my own anytime soon. Let me reach out and ask for some pointers or somebody can shove me in the right direction. So do your homework, of course, but understand your resources. That's so critical. I mean, to just sit back and do nothing because nobody's told you to do something or somehow you can't think of these things on your own, that's a real fail to me. You really got to be able to do that in a professional environment. So if you're out in your interviewing and you're looking to get into tech or really any job, you know, being able to overcome challenges, be a problem solver, be self-motivated, you know, understand the lay of the land, be humble, have no ego, those kind of things are going to go very far. And I honestly, if somebody were to say what I just said right here to me in an interview, I don't know that I'd actually go any further. You're hired because I know what that means. And if you know what that means and you can actually do that, you're on my team, man. That's wonderful. So I guess this is just a little glimpse into, you know, my own kind of approach to this, but I can't stress enough how important it is to understand how to be successful in the environment that you find yourself. And it oftentimes doesn't really have anything to do with how much knowledge you have of any one specialty or skill. It's understanding how to get the job done. That is so critical. And I know even when I went to school, that was not something that was taught. So that's the trade-off. You get all the computer science and that approach to things, a logical, conditional approach to solving the problem that's 3 inches in front of your face. But if you don't understand how to do anything else around that, you're going to be stuck because only one time in my entire 20 something year career as an employee anywhere, even outside of tech, have I ever been in a place where I had control over everything. And it was just because I was the only engineer they had. So I had access to everything and I could do everything myself. Now I wouldn't argue that was good because even from a security perspective, that's very risky. It's one person has access to everything. But on top of that, it's one person that has to understand and know how to do everything, which is also pretty far-fetched, you know, in technology to be able to understand all the different things and do them correctly and best practice oriented. That's pretty difficult. So my point is, everywhere else that I've been, I've had to understand that, oh, you know what? I need a subnet or a VLAN. I don't have access to do that. Oh, I have to open a ticket to the network team and tell them the subnet range I want and the CIDRs and things like that. I have to open a ticket and send that and understand how to follow up on that and reach out to people to get it done. Or my work I can't build anything without a network. And if I'm not allowed to build the network because that's how it's segregated in the environment, and what you'll find is that's very real. You know, network data and security are their own thing. And then you have DevOps and SRE that are kind of one intermingled team throughout the product group of developers. So I need to understand, if I need a database, I need to define what that is and open a ticket to that team and understand the SLA and plan for that by saying, okay, I know if this is going to be, you need to know to even ask these things. So when you sit in an architectural meeting and you know they're throwing back these ideas and you see, oh, look, VPC, subnet, database, multi-regional, all that in your head has to trigger, hey, that's the network team and their SLA for something like this is, you know, like 2 days, let's say, you know, 48 hours. And then everything's pinned on the network. But then the next thing I need to open a ticket for is database provisioning. And, you know, do I want REPL? Do I need snapshots? You know, what kind of storage? All these different things that aren't actually doing the technology, but it's understanding the platform itself and what it means, and then applying that fundamental knowledge about an actual platform to how your company operates internally. Now, I never took any classes in school on any of this. This is stuff you learn in the job, on the job, right? I mean, and most of the time you're going to learn from somebody else that's been around, but you know, coming to the table with this is such a step ahead, because that's probably what I spend 60% of my time doing. I definitely work with technology, and you know, I was in building stuff in the cloud all day today. But at the same time, opening tickets with support. I was on a phone call with support today, trying to work through some issues that we're having with cross-regional situations with like control tower and account factory provisioning of new accounts and things like that, that, you know, honestly, I don't understand. I've never used that stuff. It's new to me. So I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to troubleshoot it right, but I understand how to get the information I need to get the job done. And in this case, it was opening a support ticket and engaging someone from AWS support, because we're an enterprise client. So we have this amazing support. And we also have, again, another chat that I had set up with our guys from AWS. So I have all of these mechanisms in place to make my team of literally one right now, me, very successful. So amidst all the hiring and interviewing and all the other things that I'm doing as a manager, I'm actually in the business running things in multiple clouds too. So it's real exciting stuff, really good. But I guess the point is, one of the reasons I think I can do that is because of all the things I just explained. None of this really frazzles me or gets me all worked up. It's just, you need to feel confident and understand how to approach things and problem solving. You know, I try to tell my kids this too. You know, as much as you may not like math, word problems are the thing you really need to learn in math, because that's how you learn to solve problems in real life, outside of even a job. If you can read a paragraph or two of information and understand, number one, understand what it's saying, stating, or asking, and then answer the questions and solve the problem, man, you're going to be pretty successful in life, because I would gather that a lot of people can't do that. And I would gather that even a larger subset of that group doesn't even think it's important. But it is. It's super important. I mean, I can't even stress enough how important that really is in real life, to be able to solve problems like, okay, so you get audited by the IRS. What do you do? Right? What do you do? Most people don't have enough money to go hire an attorney or an accountant to deal with that. So you got to figure it out yourself. You know, I mean, that happens. Trust me, it happens. You have to understand the process and how to deal with it and who to talk to and how to solve the problem. Or, you know, they'll just keep on fining you for not paying whatever you owe them. It's crazy. But those are life lessons, right? And these are the things you need to apply. So not only does it apply to your job, but it also applies to your life. You need to understand things like this. So be inquisitive, ask questions. Don't worry about saying, hey, I don't know how to do this. Don't just give up though. If you don't know how to do something, that's totally acceptable, but you need to own that and then do all the legwork to learn it. That is so important. And, you know, maybe that's how I got where I am now, is for so many years I've been doing just that. And I've grown to not have any concern whatsoever if I say out loud in front of any audience, hey, I don't know how to do this, but here's what I've done so far. This is what I'm going to do. And this is how I'm going to get to the result that you want on the, you know, by the deadline. And if that's not enough for somebody, then they're out of their mind, because what else can you ask from people? You know, I mean, no one knows everything. No one does all this stuff by themselves. It's just not possible, right? It's not how human beings work. And that's not how we even created our environments in society and technology and whatever. It takes more than one person to really be able to do everything, right? Like, you might argue, well, Garrett, you know, there's musicians that do it all by themselves. Well, they really don't, though. How many of these massively successful musicians, as an example, not only write all their own music, play all the parts, sing all the songs, write all the lyrics, record it, engineer it, mix it, master it, publish it, distribute it, create all the merch, do all the graphics, all the logo, come on, right? It's nonsense. Nobody is doing all of that stuff. And if they are, they're not doing it all well. And I can say that because as an independent musician, as a hobbyist, I have a publishing company. I have a record label. I write all the music. I buy all the equipment. I do my taxes. I collect the money. I publish the songs. All of that stuff I do by myself. And I would bet that maybe the only thing I do fairly well is the music part, like writing the songs. I come up with cool, catchy melodies and hooks and stuff like that. But everything else is subpar because I'm the one doing it all. Would I love to have a team of people to work with that each had a specialty and an expertise? Heck yeah, but I don't. So if I want to do it, I have to do it myself. But my point is, you know, in reality, you're not going to be doing all this stuff yourself. So you need to just embrace that. You know, if I'm in a room with an engineer and a guy that's been trained in recording engineering, I'm not going to tell the guy what to do. I'm going to let him do his thing. That's his contribution to the project. Same with what I do in technology. You know, I right now I have to do a lot of things by myself, but you know, once the teams are built around me, that's how we'll work with the people that bring the expertise to the table for specific components and disciplines. We'll do those things. That's just how a company works, man. That's why you hire different people for different positions. If one person could do it for all these different companies, they would have one person working for them, because what's the most controllable expense for any employer? Yeah, salary, employees. Okay, well, with that, 37 minutes. I guess I did have something to say here after all. And I don't know. I mean, I appreciate anyone that does listen to this type of stuff, but you know, quite frankly, I do this just because I like to hear myself talk. So with that, I'll see you on the flip side, man.